are tuned to listener-supported community radio, KZFR 90.1 FM, worldwide at KZFR.org. And don't forget that free smartphone app at the App Store for your Android and iPhones. It's time for Butte Views and Beyond. Alrighty, welcome to Butte Views and Beyond. My name's Ray Lager. I'll be summing in today for Deborah Lucero. And Butte Views and Beyond is in partnership with Friends of the Arts. Deborah is the director of Friends of the Arts Butte County, and they are the state local partner with the California Arts Commission. And this program is designed to explore our region's rich history of natural, historic, cultural, and business assets. And Butte Views and Beyond is made possible by our KZFR listeners and by Friends of the Arts. The state local partner of the California Arts Council since 2001, Friends of the Arts has been creating economic opportunity through arts and culture by producing community festivals and events, including Artoberfest, Chico Palio, the True North Tour, the Silent Film Festival, the NorCal Jazz Festival, the Salmon Festival, and more. To learn about Friends of the Arts, visit friendsoftheartsupstate.org, and also by Seven Diamonds Orchard, producers of raw, certified organic almond and almond butter. Seven Diamonds Orchards is available by calling 343-5776 or by emailing sevendiamondorchards@yahoo.com. Organic almond butter is also available at Chico Natural Foods and SNS Produce. And on this warm Thursday, I hope you're staying cool and maybe finding some shade. And thanks for tuning in to KZFR. And we've got some guests lined up, so I think we'll kind of get right to it. Julie, are we on the line?
I'm here.
All righty. My first guest today is, now this is pretty exciting because California World Fest has been a long-standing festival. I remember when it started back in the, somewhere in the late 90s, is that right?
It's 19 years old this year.
19 years old.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we'll have to do the math.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I'll get 90s,
yeah. Yeah, what was that? 96 maybe, I think. There you go. I remember when it started, I've actually going a few times, and recently, I believe Dan Duane and his wife started the event, and it was called Maple Creek Productions,
mm-hmm.
And was it this year or last year when Center for the Arts Grass Valley took over?
This is our first year presenting California World Fest. We acquired the festival in January of 2015, so it's just been, you know, 5 months ago. So we quickly hit the ground running to produce the festival, and we're so excited. We're just thrilled beyond belief that we are get to be the curators and purveyors and, you know, stewards of this amazing festival.
Yeah, it's definitely a good one. Now, I kind of jumped ahead. I was going to introduce you. You are the director of Center for the Arts Grass Valley?
I am. I'm the executive director. We are a nonprofit performing arts center located in downtown Grass Valley, California. And we do about 150 performances throughout the year. A lot of music, variety of music. We do comedy, we do theater, we do community events, we do literary events, we have two art galleries, we do dance. You name it, it's pretty much happening at the center. Everything but classical, because there's two organizations in our community that do that. So we do all of that, and so that's what I do most of the year.
Yeah, most of the year. And I have to say, you guys are blowing up. You guys do so many events and bring such a plethora of fabulous talent through.
Thanks.
It's been really exciting to see. And
Jenny's tomorrow night at the center.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be live streamed because the show sold out in about a month in advance. So
nice.
Tune in to thecenterforthearts.org to watch it.
Oh, that's great. Oh, yeah. That's great. And now, is it just that I was not aware, or is this something that over in the past couple of years has really taken off as far as you guys producing more and more shows, or has that kind of always been the norm?
You know, it's really picked up in the last 6 years, to be honest, which is when I came on board and brought in, as we've built it. I think the sort of big shift for us was when we started to take and do shows off-site. So our primary venue is about 300-seated, about 360-seated standing combination. And when you're running a performing arts center, you know, obviously we're trying to make it sustainable and make sense financially, and we rely on contributions, and we also rely on earned income. And it's really difficult, to be honest with you, to make it work on just 300 seats. It's just a hard margin. So we started doing some off-site shows at a 950-capacity venue, and that's when we were able to expand who we were able to bring into the community in terms of headlining performers, and that really shifted, you know, our business model and what we were able to offer to our community. And we've done now over 50 shows at the off-site venue, which is the Veterans Memorial Auditorium. We've got Emmy Lou Harris and Rodney Crowell, for example, coming in September. So we're able to expand what we're doing, and then we just built a reputation based on that with the people in the industry, and artists talk about it, and, you know, the audiences love it, and we're a great stop along the way. So it seems to have really gelled, and now we're just, you know, because we've become well known in the industry, we're getting, I mean, I probably get about 2 to 4 asks a day from agents saying, can you, you know, present this artist? So we're just trying to keep up with it, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting having, you know, I mean, you're starting as a facility management, basically, because you have a facility that you have to fill and seat and to expand out. And it's, you know, it's funny because in Chico, you know, we have a couple of, up to 300 really nice venues. But then there's this huge gap of what do we do? You know, we can't put, you know, we can't always fill 1,000 seats.
Right.
We're missing that kind of 450 to 500 level place.
That's a nice size. But you've got great venues in Chico. You've got the Big Room. You've got, of course, got Laxon Auditorium.
Sure, yeah.
And all sorts of, you know, the theaters that you have there. So, yeah, and I mean, I think Chico and Grass Valley / Nevada City, I sort of consider them the same place, have really similar vibes and similar interests in terms of audiences of what they want to see. So it made a lot of sense when Dan approached us, because I think that there's just sort of this great relationship between Chico and Grass Valley.
Yeah, totally. Now, and how did that come about? Was he came to you guys and said, "Hey, I'm thinking of making a directional change in my career."
I think he's actually, what he and Christine really wanted to do is retire and travel, and, you know, they've been amazing people who, you know, they started Strawberry Music Festival. Dan was the executive director at Laxon Auditorium, I think, for over 20 years.
Oh,
you know,
that wrong,
he's somebody, I would go to conferences and everyone would say, do you know Dan DeWayne? You know, he was sort of this legend in the industry.
Right.
So I think they, you know, really honestly, they were just ready to be able to have some freedom. I mean, it's a great gig what we get to do, and I feel really blessed that we get to present, you know, things like World Fest, but it's also a lot of work and a lot of risk and a lot of stress. So I think they were at a point, both he and Christine, where they wanted to enjoy being retired, as he had retired from Laxon. And I met Dan many times at conferences, as I had mentioned, and he felt that what we were doing in Grass Valley was, you know, what you were saying, kind of blowing up in terms of our presenting, and he was watching that, and he felt that we would be excellent stewards of the festival. And, you know, what's great is that it's been in Grass Valley for a long time, and we're a nonprofit in our own community in Grass Valley, so it's a nice thing in that money now that is earned at the festival will stay in our own community. So I think it's really a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, totally. And I love the fact that you guys are a nonprofit. And I just think it's a great, you know, you don't often see that where you have a, you know, basically a for-profit company that is producing big-time festivals and it's been able to fall into that kind of grid of good of community awareness and community building.
Yeah, it's a fairly unusual story that a nonprofit would actually purchase a for-profit festival, but we have a really amazing board, an incredible staff, great volunteers, and a really supportive community, and we're in a strong position. We've had good years, and we felt that was a right next step for us. We were actually looking to produce our own festival, but as you, I'm sure you see, the festival market's pretty crowded, and to introduce another festival, a new festival, not only was it hard to find dates on the calendar to do that, it was also just, you know, something that's really difficult to break into that market at this point. So having this opportunity to take an existing festival that has an incredibly loyal fan base, you know, people have been going for the 19 years. They've been doing their family reunions there. Kids have grown up there. You have multiple generations coming to California World Fest. It just felt like, you know, just an amazing opportunity for us. And we also, you know, the sort of thing that we say, even though we're incredibly busy as an organization already, it's not like we bought a medical convention and all of a sudden we're sort of going, oh my God, you know, it's not part of our core capabilities. We know what we're doing when it comes to presenting the performing arts and in particular a lot of music. So it feels like a really good fit for us, and the staff is absolutely totally jazzed and enthusiastic and excited, and can't believe it's 3 weeks away.
Yeah, I'm sure you can't believe it's 3 weeks away.
So, countdown.
Yeah, well, and especially, you know, I mean, 5 months, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, it's been, I do most of the programming, so, you know, just booking the acts and keeping it strong, because they, you know, it's a hard act to follow. These guys, Dan and Christine, have done an amazing job, and you know, we wanted those people who've been going for a long time to look at it and go, yeah, this is the festival I you know, come to love and want to go to every year and build their summer plans around. And then we also want to introduce it to new people and get the next generation coming out, and keeping the programming diverse enough that it satisfies all of those types of audiences is a challenge in a festival. But you know, it's an exciting part of the curation aspect of it.
Yeah, sure. And you know, it's totally in the Strawberry model. I went to Strawberry for many, many years, and it's kind of interesting that you know, this I mean, Dan Design is in the Strawberry model of families and, you know, people jamming and campsites.
Camping,
and all that kind of
workshops.
Yeah, all that.
Family
and then,
programs. Yeah. I think the difference is that there's 8 stages. So I think at Strawberry, at least the one that's been in Grass Valley, because they moved to Grass Valley recently since the Rim Fire, there aren't as many stages. But we've got full stage, you know, going on, music happening starting at 9:30 in the morning, going till 10:30 at night, no break in between, and on multiple stages. So, you know, you can go check out somebody for 15 minutes and then go check somebody else out, or you can sit there and then maybe that person's playing, that act is playing again, you know, 3 hours later, sort of thing. So I think that's a bit of difference from Strawberry.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's, I mean, and frankly, you know, it's an amazing, when I look at the sort of value of what you get in terms of, you know, getting a ticket and coming into this festival, all day, all the workshops are included in your ticket, all the kids and family programs are included in your ticket, all the amazing amount of music. I mean, we've booked over 34 bands this year, and it's a great wide variety. And, you know, and we've got over 50 vendors, over 20 food vendors. We're introducing a couple of new things this year. We're doing an eco tent where we'll talk about some of, you know, global environmental issues. We've got some plein air painters painting the vibe of the festival and then selling those. We've got some stuff about Nevada County, introducing people to, you know, our community. So we're trying to slowly introduce some new things, but keep what has people have always loved about it.
That sounds great. And, you know, for years, and you guys continue to help KZFR during our membership drives. I know we've had a number of our supporters pledge for your festival passes, and we totally appreciate that.
Yeah, you bet. We love to support community radio, and, you know, that's in our community. We have one as well, and it's so important because, you know, we always say that you're the ones educating people about this type of music. You know, the music that we're doing at these types of boutique festivals are not being played on Top 40 radio.
For sure. Yep. So. Got to get it out there. And I'm just kind of scanning. We're going to Lucinda Williams Band, Richard Thompson Solo, Birds of Chicago.
Yeah.
We just had Keeley's Wheel for our birthday party a couple weeks ago. Loved those guys. That was a blast. And Dengue Fever.
Dengue Fever, that's right.
Had did a show for us in film. Yeah, so just fabulous.
Las Cafeteras. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but they're an amazing high-energy band from East L.A., Chicano music, just incredible. Portland Cello Project, Makana from Hawaii, incredible Todo Mundo. Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited about the lineup this year. Again, you know, big shoes to fill. John Trudell is coming. We've got Emmy Sunshine. I don't know if you've heard about her, but she's this 10-year-old ukulele sensation from the from the hills of eastern Tennessee.
Wow.
And just played, you know, Grand Ole Opry. Marty Stewart's raving about her, going, "This girl's a real deal." She writes sort of, you know, dark songs. And even though she's just a little 10-year-old, this amazing voice, kind of the Patsy Cline, Dolly Parton, I don't know, you know, just sort of interesting. And there's a lot of people really excited to see her. And then we've got Beats Antique, which is, on the other side of the spectrum entirely, which is, they're based in San Francisco. They call themselves World Music, but it's more of the electronica, dubstep sort of music. And after that, that's Friday night, we're going to go indoors and have DJs for the 21-plus crowd and go till about 2 o'clock in the morning. So a little bit of a different vibe that night. And then Saturday night we've got we were hoping to have King Sunny a day, and unfortunately, I don't know if you've read about all these visa issues happening at the State Department,
right?
But we've got an amazing replacement for King Sunny a day, and we're really excited about, which is Rocky Dewuni, who's originally from Ghana, and kind of Afro roots music, and he'll be coming with a full band and backup singers, and we'll keep the heartbeat going Saturday night as well.
All righty. Well, hey, thank you so much for taking the time to call in today, and of course, more information at worldfest.net, is that correct?
Worldfest.net, all the information is there, and yeah, we hope to see you.
Yeah, so California World Fest continues. It's going to be July 16th through the 19th. At the Nevada County Fairgrounds in Grass Valley. And again, I know a lot of people in the KZFR listening area love that festival.
Yeah, and we appreciate that support, and we can't wait to meet you all and, just share in the excitement of how music connects us all.
All righty. Hey, Julie, thank you so much for taking time. It's been great to have you here on Beauty Views and Beyond.
Thanks so much, Ray.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care.
Alrighty, we are going to take a little musical break, and then we're going to talk about a new local business that's just opened and a little bit different kind of spin on things. Thanks for tuning in. My name's Ray Lager. You're listening to KZFR, the Zephyr, 90.1 FM. Still winners moan. Best they keep and shut it down while you true and old. Alrighty, you're listening to Dead Winter Carpenters, and speaking of festivals, this weekend is Sacred Movement Healing Arts and Music Festival, and of course KZFR, as you know, is a big supporter of this, and it's going to be July 26th through the 28th at Lake Concow, second year that it's been called Sacred Movement. Used to be the Wild Mountain Fair years ago. Anyway, 3 days of music, tons of stuff. We're listening to Dead Winter Carpenters. They will be performing along with Roots Underground, B-Side Players, and a whole bunch of other people. All the information's at sacredmovementmusicfestival.com. And Lisa Valentine's going to be there. We'll hear a bit from Lisa a little later in the show. But right now, I have a guest in the studio with me, and Monica Smith. Hi, Monica. Welcome to KCFR.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
I'm going to move this.
Tell me where. Yep. Okay.
There we go. Just a little bit closer. Okay. And Monica just opened a new business here in Chico, and really interesting concept, Earth Living Eco Home. And it's an environmentally friendly alternative to home improvement?
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, yes.
So what are we looking at?
We're looking at paints for interior, exterior, flooring, wood flooring, wool carpets, all sorts of wood stains, different types of plasters for your walls. I've even got organic beds and bedding.
Right, so it's a non-toxic alternative to going to, you know, anywhere and buying things that, okay, I'm going to put this on my wall and I have to air out my house and move my bird out and all those other kind of things.
Yeah, and your kids and yourself.
Sure. And where did obviously, your interest must be in a toxic-free home or toxic-free living. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I'm very excited about green and sustainability, but non-toxic means a lot to me, and just living a healthy lifestyle and not having just all these chemicals invade your life and world. And you know, we eat organic food, but we forget about the walls in our home. And
sure,
yeah.
You know, cleaning supplies, all those kind of things. You know, it's interesting because oldest stepdaughter is living down in Redwood City now. Her boyfriend works down in Palo Alto.
Nice.
And she has just gone off on this whole tangent of she brings us, you know, lemon and vinegar or orange and vinegar cleaning products.
Right.
And she's bringing us all the stuff that she's just making in her kitchen. And it's,
and they work wonderfully.
They work really well.
Yeah.
They're cost basically zero.
Uh-huh.
And you know, and then I'm looking at the stuff I have under my sink, and I'm thinking, you know, if you expose this to your skin, call a doctor.
Yeah,
versus something that looks like salad dressing. You know,
exactly. Something looks like salad dressing, and that's a lot of my products. There's no warning labels on anything. It's all healthy to breathe, fine to be around for your kids, for yourself, for your pets, and yeah.
So, these products. I mean, where are they coming from? Is it something that is being is it like, you know, out there in the mass market or something new evolving industry?
I mean, these products have been around for a while, a lot of them. They're not that new, but they're usually just a very a niche store. Not all big stores have this stuff. Mm-hmm. And because a lot of my products are from smaller companies, you know, they don't have they're not in China. They're in Oregon. They're in Washington, Arizona, Colorado, and you get just a very much more local feel from them. If you want to talk to them, call them anytime, kind of a companies. And it's nice to know your product was handmade right there with
It sounds
local
kinda,
products.
It sounds kind of like the organic food industry 30 years ago.
Right,
or
yeah.
Something where it's like, oh, we're going to go over the hill and get our, you know, our fruit from this guy locally. And,
right.
Now look at it.
And so I'm excited for people to come and see what all these people that are, you know, with a state away have created. And they can find it here. They don't have to drive all the way down to the Bay Area and find things down there or look online and go, do I like it? Do I not like it? What is it? They can come down, touch it, feel it, see it.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I was in the store. Let's get the location. Park Avenue, what's the address?
Park Avenue, 2412, right next to Substation.
Okay,
it
there you go.
A tire store before.
Right.
So,
And that's kind of a happening little area of Chico. It's really starting to pick up. I'm sure our listeners know on Thursday mornings, our own Rick Carr just opened up a sheet metal. His own sheet metal place, a couple doors down.
Yeah,
so
it's
pretty
very
cool.
Much a happening, all industrial home and things going on in that area. Yeah, it's pretty neat.
You know, it's funny because years ago, I always kind of envisioned that area as like lofts and housing. And I thought, you know, it's all there, those old, you know. And I know still on the other side of the street, there's still some places back there.
Right.
Scotty from the Printed Image just built a new facility there.
Huge facility.
Which I got to tour a couple of weeks ago. I was over there checking it out. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, that area is going to start to blow up. That's really where it's starting to happen. So
it's easy access for people. It's not downtown, so they can park easily. They can come in and out. And that's nice. That's helpful for when you want to shop with your entire family and park and not have to worry about downtown.
Well, it's a different vibe. It's not a retail. Yeah. It's not a retail restaurant.
Yeah.
Restaurant vibe. And plus, it's the, there's the design center, but there's a lot of those businesses that are locating on that kind of 20 to 24th Street corridor there.
Right, yeah. There's a lot of tile guys and granite guys down there. So a lot of home stuff. You know, you can pop in and out of everybody and check everybody out.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And the Habitat for Humanity is down the road. And it's great for recycled, reclaimed.
Right, yeah. No, it's really really a happening thing. And honestly, I don't know if the city fathers or planners or mothers, whatever you want to call them, figured that out, you know, if that was done purposely or just kind of happened that way, that one industry starts to feed to another industry that feeds to another industry and creates that.
Yeah, it's a pretty neat vibe around there.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. I was going to say, though, I was looking at the, you have this, the plaster wall coverings, which are really nice to touch.
Yeah, they're gorgeous. I know. There's clay walls and limestone
clay.
Walls.
That's it. Clay and limestone walls.
And they're just like the times from back in the Roman days and Greek days. It's just it's just earthy and comfortable, and it just makes you feel good when you look at it and touch it.
Right. You feel like you're in Italy or something, instead of, sheetrock and
It's
and
just a whole different
mud, as we call it.
Right. It gives it depth, and it just is a great accent wall. Yeah. You can come see them and touch them and feel them, and it's nice to be able to do that because you can see things and you just don't know how it really feels. And what is that? Do I want that on my wall?
Right. And I would imagine it has a superior insulation concept because you're basically putting, it's a rock component that's reforming and sealing. So
it does insulation and it cleans the air actually, and the clay breathes and takes out humidity and lets it back out naturally.
Oh, really? Yeah. So it's a porous.
Porous. Yeah, and the limestone goes back to hard, and you can do it in your bathroom instead of tile, and lots of neat stuff.
Yeah, that is. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool concept.
Yeah,
and then you're also doing. And I know this is kind of a hot market the last couple of years, is organic bedding, what do you call it, organic latex or
organic,
something?
Yeah, it's just real latex, really, from the latex tree, and there's no added anything, it's just pure latex, and then there's no fire retardants because they're wrapped in wool, and fire retardants they never really go away. They want them to be there. And so wool is your fire retardant, so you don't have any chemicals, and they're made in San Diego, which is pretty incredible that it's that's fairly local, a little bit further.
It's Cali anyway.
It's definitely Cali. So that's exciting to have beds that people can come and lay on them and check them out and feel them. And
Yeah. I mean, if you've ever lived in a house that had new carpet installed, you know what you're talking about. When you're like, oh my God, is that odor going to go away?
Yeah. And,
you know,
it takes a long time.
Yeah, it takes a long time because they, you know, for fire reasons and all these other reasons, things are pretty heavily treated. And I'm sure it's with all good intentions. But, you know, when you get to that point, it's like, there might be an alternative to
this. Yeah, and there's some great alternatives. And it's neat to learn about them. And so many people are actually everybody's online and checking things out and reading amazing books. And so a lot of people know about this stuff, but they don't have a place to go check it out. So.
Well, yeah, well, that's what's cool. You can just go see it.
Yeah.
So, background in environmental studies or anything like that, or chemistry? Or
No, I did a little pre-med, and I wanted to get into medicine, and natural wellness was really intrigued me, and I've done a lot of work in that area. But so that's how the non-toxic, and just keeping our bodies, our temple, you know, clean and healthy, and really our homes are our sanctuary, and they put off a lot of off-gassing, so.
Yeah, there you go. Now, I was like, I don't know why I always ask people this, but so are you California native? Where did you grow up?
Yeah, I grew up in the Bay Area and came to Chico for college and stayed, yeah.
Yeah, one of those, huh?
Yeah, just one of those, yeah.
Right. Where in the Bay did you live?
I grew up in Fremont.
In Fremont? Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. A's fan? Warriors? Come
yeah, A's fans. Yes,
you got it,
definitely.
Baby. Hey, we won today, man. Come on.
Yeah, yeah, you got the shirt on.
Exactly. Got to represent, man. Well, Spenny, you know, it's Spenny, man. He's our Oakland guy. So, well, that's really cool, and it's really exciting. Again, you know, one of the things that this show likes to focus on is economic development, and to see not just a new business open, but a new industry start to open.
Yeah,
because that's what I think is really exciting. Because that's your business is kind of the beginning of maybe a new industry coming to Butte County.
Yeah, it'd be great to see it. I mean, you have so many great companies doing lots of green and sustainable and healthy things, and it coincides with all of that. And I couldn't be happier to be here with the business. It's a great place to have it.
Now, when did you officially open?
The second week of May.
Oh, wow,
I've been open a bit, but I was, you know, sneaky about it. I was a little apprehensive.
Soft opening,
that's what they call it, right? Yeah.
Right.
I was a little, worried. But, no, I'm excited now, and I feel good, and I'm excited for people to just ask lots of questions and come and, you know, learn more about how they can be non-toxic and sustainable and support the whole entire industry.
Yeah. It's one of those places that it gives you ideas.
Yeah.
So you don't necessarily have to know what you're doing or what you want.
Right.
But you look around and you go, oh, I could do this on the patio, or I could do this out there, or I can do this in that basement, and we can do these things and that. So, yeah, it's and that's what I like, you know, it feeds the brain.
Yeah, it sure does. Yeah, I've got lots of books and stuff if people want to come and read those and just learn about sustainable ways, because not everybody can build a brand new green home and, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, thank you again for coming in, and let's get the address one more time.
Yeah, it's 2412 Park Avenue.
So 24th, basically, in Park?
Yeah, yeah.
24th and Park. If you're heading, you know, I'm always confused in Chico. If you're heading, you know, if you're leaving downtown, it's kind of like going up, but you're actually going down.
Yeah, I know. That's very true, yeah.
It's on the right side.
Right, and I'm on the right, yeah.
Yeah.
You'll see me.
It's on the right.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you, Monica, so much for coming
thanks,
in.
Oh, thanks, Ray.
And we are going to listen to a little bit of Lisa Valentine, and she's going to be at the Sacred Movement Music Festival this weekend. You're listening to Butte Views and Beyond, and my name's Ray, filling in for Deborah. Alrighty, and that is Lisa Valentine, and she will be at the Sacred Movement Festival this weekend in Concow, June 26th, 7th, and 8th. The Lake Concow Campgrounds, 12967 Concow Road. So, and all the information's at sacredmovementmusicfestival.com. Tons and tons of bands. It's going to be a good time. The Sacred Movement Healing Arts and Music Festival, and KZFR is, of course, proud to be a part of that. We had a guest, maybe it was last month or 2 months ago, talking about the Oroville fireworks, and some exciting things have been happening over there. They won a national contest, and Dave Pittman, are you on the line?
Oh, Ray, how you doing today?
Hey, Dave, I'm doing great. You having any fun there out there, Dave?
Well, we're trying to have fun, but, you know, that's our requirement here in Oroville. If you're not having fun, we're going to send you home.
That's right, because the fun starts here, baby.
That's right.
So, so this is a pretty exciting thing. We talked about this a little bit ago. Back in, when would that contest happen? Was that back in the...
It was advertised, I think, back in March. And Delia, who was the person from Oroville that wrote the fantastic essay and entry, ended up becoming the contest winner for our community. So big kudos to her for... signing this up and entering and taking the time out to help us try to celebrate the 4th of July.
So, and the contest was held part of, it was through USA Today and Destination America. And there were two cities that won. One was Waveland, Mississippi, is that right? Or Alabama? I can't remember.
No, Mississippi, that's correct.
Waveland, Mississippi, and Oroville. And Destination America is putting on an event called the Red, White, and You Celebration. And it'll be up at the Lake Oroville Dam, and they're helping to contribute and put on just a big party up there on the dam on the 4th of July.
Yeah, you know, this is such a special event. All of you ought to think about putting it on your calendar to go and celebrate the 4th of July and celebrate with others. I know they're going to be having food, some ice cream dilly bars, if anybody knows what those are, remember those from Dairy Queen.
And, yeah, yeah.
And some ribs. I understand they're going to even have some activities for the kids to play with, the bounce house or something like that. And it's just going to be a different way to celebrate the 4th. It's the 239th birthday of our nation, and I can't think of a better way to do it than to have people come together and enjoy the evening.
Yeah, it should be quite a thing. There'll also be some live music up there. They're going to use the upper, if you're familiar with the area, the Upper Overlook parking lot, which is on the corner of Canyon and Royal Oaks. Is that right?
That's right. Canyon Drive and Royal Oaks actually run into each other twice. It's the last time they run into each other, right at the old visitor Upper Overlook. And when they're building the dam, that overlook was very popular to watch the construction of the dam back in the 60s, and now it's still there. It's a huge parking lot, 5.5 acres, and it'll have a great view of the fireworks display going off, shooting from a barge from the lake.
Yeah, it is. It's a great vantage point, and they're expecting somewhere around 4,000 or 5,000 people up there. And festivities start at 4 p.m. and they're going to go till right about 9 o'clock. And the fireworks are scheduled for about 9:30. Is that right?
Pretty close to that, you know, the dust time. The other thing we need to mention, too, is we've had some huge contributors this year to, and I represent Rotary as a fundraiser. We will end up, because of the massive donations and the contributions from PG&E, from Discover America, and many other folks in Oroville, we're going to have the largest show that has ever occurred on that lake. And, this will be some of the largest shells that will be going off in Northern California. So it's an opportunity to see a real great display and a great way to cap off your celebration of the 4th of July.
Yeah, what I think we were talking 1,200 rockets and shells going off in about a 20-minute time.
1,280 or 30 or something like that. It's going to still be in the, you know, 22-minute timeline because you don't want to drag it on. You want to have that big boom. So, you know, your kids need to come and find a good spot and relax and get a good vantage point and just to feel the percussion of the boom is going to be another aspect of this. So
Well, one of my favorite things about the Lake Orville fireworks is the simple fact that it's over the lake, and you get that beautiful reflection of all those colors.
Oh, I'm telling you, any of you that are camera buffs, you really need to get your cameras tuned up and get ready, because there's some wonderful pictures that can occur with the backdrop of the dam and the backdrop of the night time and all the lights on the lake. You know, when you look out on the lake, everybody's got their white parking light on, and it just looks like a whole sea of light bulbs out of there in the water. And then the reflection of the fireworks off the water is even really spectacular to your pictures. You'll have some great memories to have with the pictures you can take from this activity.
Yeah, and they get, what about it? What do we estimate? Something like 1,000 boats on the lake for this?
Oh, I think there'll probably be more than that this year. And that's okay. There's plenty of room, even though the water's down low. The spillway boat ramp will be launching, both launching boats and receiving boats. State Parks has a great plan to get everybody in line and move you through the process as quick as possible. Bidwell ramp will be operating and probably until they fill the parking lot. So I'd certainly suggest if you're going to get on a boat for the day, I'd get out there early, you know, maybe even before noon, so that you can, you know, enjoy the lake first off, and then sit somewhere and get a nice relaxing spot. Almost anywhere on the lake, you're going to be able to see it. We also know there's going to be a lot of folks from the mountains along the roadway by Bidwell Bar Bridge on Oro Quincy Highway. And, you know, as though we're not encouraging it, but if you do go along that section of roadway and pull off there, please be real careful of the roads and cars. There's a lot of windy road there, and, you know, you need to be very, very visible. So we don't have any accidents or any injuries. We don't want to see that at all. But it also can be fantastic viewing from that Oro Quincy Highway.
Yeah, some of my favorite photographs of the lake are kind of from those vantage points. You just get a little more of the distance shot. But, yeah, it's really important that, of course, as everybody knows in this severe drought we're in, please, 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 no open flames, no charcoal,
right.
None of that kind of stuff, you know.
Sure enough.
Keep it really smart and safe.
Yeah, and it's going to be kind of a unique situation because it is a free event for folks. And to have Discover America, you know, have this competition and really help celebrate, you know, our country's birth, I think is very positive, very uplifting, and can be very memorable for your kids. I mean, you know, once you hear that boom and the percussion of those fireworks, you don't ever forget that. And that'll be a positive for all the families, and we really look forward to that.
Yeah, and it's a great, you know, honestly, it's great for Butte County. It's great for Oroville, the whole region. The notoriety, you know, it's one of those things that just more and more and more people are discovering this part of California. And I know we like to kind of keep it a secret for a while, but it's also nice to get nice to get the notoriety.
It's like the secret of the tallest dam in the nation.
Yeah, there you go.
And many people don't know that. If not, you can quiz your kids on that topic. Where's the tallest dam in the nation? And you can not only sit on the dam and be there, but to watch a fireworks show from it is really very spectacular. And like I said, this will be the big show this year. So if you don't have plans, please make plans. And remember, this is your facility. This is a state of California facility. So this is your place to enjoy and have that moment with your kids. I know the campgrounds will more than likely be full, Bidwell Campground, Loafer Creek, and, of course, the spillway operation there. There's a lot of folks that I know are planning to just park themselves and do a little tailgate party in the spillway parking lot. So there's just an opportunity for everyone to have a little different event. There will be shuttles running. And,
yes.
Ray, I think you have some information about that.
Yeah, so there is going to be limited shuttle service from downtown Oroville. It will be from Montgomery and Meyer Street, which is really the heart of downtown Oroville. So if you're coming in from somewhere else besides Oroville, if you get off at Montgomery Street on Highway 70, head into downtown, and when you get to Meyer Street, there's a big parking lot there. Just park, and the shuttles will be picking up. And they're going to be scheduled shuttles. So they'll be leaving at 5, 6, and 7 p.m. And that'll take you right up to
that. We want to put a big shout-out to our partners. The Work Training Center is offering the bulk of this, and that's a huge effort. They've put donated, ten buses to this effort.
And, yeah, that's really great.
Great offering for that company to provide here.
Yeah, and they're a great organization. They do so much for the community and for the people they're able to employ in that. So they're a great asset. And the Rotary of Oroville, I mean, you guys have been doing this now for a number of years and raising funds to keep this tradition alive. Big support this year from PG&E, from Gold Country Casino, from Bidwell Marina. They have long time been supporting these events. And then, of course, all the community members and, people filling the bucket and keeping this going.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It is a community event. It's probably one of the only few community-supported events that everyone in town is more than happy to put something in the bucket so we can have the event go off. Also, Oroville, there's a lot of service clubs that will be selling the Safe and Sane fireworks. But remember, if you buy those, please don't bring them to the celebration. Those all have to stay in the city limits of Oroville. And you're welcome to set those off in the parking lots of the public parking lots or the parks. Or a lot of neighborhoods will do that. A lot of neighbors will get together and do that activity, too. We don't want to discourage it all, but we want to remember, if you do buy the fireworks in Oroville, please keep them in Oroville, because you'll have some legal problems if you take them outside the city and use them.
Yeah, and that definitely will be enforced. And remember, the dam is it's outside the city limits, and
it is
state parks. Well, it's interesting, the different. It's Department of Water Resources. It's state parks, different entities there. And I want to give a big shout out to California Highway Patrol that really helped to coordinate with this community effort, because honestly, it could be it's a very in-depth process and has the possibilities of being chaotic, and they have been more than patient to help this tradition continue, because I really think it's important for communities to kind of have this. You know, it's a good thing. It's a good thing for Butte County.
Well, I think it's an excellent thing. It's a good example of a state resources, Butte County resources, and city resources. Public safety folks will be out supporting the event. Helping everyone in every venue, and like I say, CHP, it's their turf in terms of jurisdiction. Department of Water Resources own the property. Department of Parks and Recreation through the state parks folks, they'll be just all over the place. If you're going to launch a boat at the boat ramp, I think you'll be impressed by their maintenance crews. They shuttle everybody through there and get the line to go. And if you think you're up way high in the back of the line, it'll take you hours. I can tell you personally, you'll be launching your boat faster than you know what happened. They get them in and out real quick, and everybody's very, very methodical and very helpful. And it's almost a good part of the experience just by itself.
Well, and make sure your registration is current.
That's true. That's true. You make sure your boat registration is very current. As soon as you hit the water, if it's not current, then you are out there for a potential fine. And I even got reminded that personally. Before I left the boat ramp, and there's a story there, but I won't bother you with that. But it's a good thing to do those things, and the one thing about the lake is a lot of your cell phones and smartphones work pretty well on the main body of the lake, so you'll always be in contact with your folks, your kids, or your other family members. There'll be a lot of houseboats out. A lot of the houseboats lie in the banks of the shore. I got to give kudos, as you mentioned, Bidwell Marina, as tough as they're having a time this year with the lowering water levels, and they're having to ask people to take their houseboats off because there's no room for the mooring. They are stepping up the plate, and they're going to be there for you. So if you need gas or fuel or anything like that the day of, they're going to be wide open, and they're going to be helping as much as they possibly can.
Yeah, all services will be provided. And let's go through the ramps that are open again for those folks that do have boats and want to take them up there.
Right. Spillway, of course, will be open. It'll have two lanes operating. We know that for sure. Bidwell Ramp, the low water ramps, will be operational. The only thing that happens there is typically in the early afternoon they run out of parking facilities, so it's not the water issue. It'll just be the ability to park your boat. So that'll probably fill up fairly fast. I understand there's a possibility you might be able to launch at Lime Saddle.
Okay.
Give them a call to make sure, but a small boat. I know the large, 30-foot bigger boats will have a difficult time launching at Lime Saddle, but we're told that all the normal ski boats and everything should be able to launch at Lime Saddle. Foreman Creek will be closed, that primitive area. The state's had problems in the past, so the state park will be closing that particular area off. If some of you are thinking that may be a good place to watch the fireworks, they'll actually have it closed, and it was because of past experience why it's being closed. And we just need to comment about that. And then, of course, everybody else will be operational that aren't being affected by the low water conditions.
All righty. And they will be at the Upper Overlook parking lot. There will be handicap parking allowed only during the Red, White, and You celebration because of the setup and the infrastructure that's needed for that. So carpooling is greatly advised since there will be a little reduced parking for the event. So, again, there will be shuttle bus service at 5, 6, and 7 from Montgomery and Meyer Street in downtown Oroville, courtesy of Work Training Center. And the other thing I wanted to mention, and I've had a couple people mention this to me, is please do not bring your pets. Do not bring your dog. Do not bring your cat. Yeah. The 4th of July fireworks, most animals, it just freaks them out. And I know it did my dogs for many, many years. So as much as people like to take their dog everywhere they go, this is definitely not a place to do that. And your dog is going to be best in the house with plenty of water and a bed that they can crawl under and hide till it's all over.
Just, you know, that's a great idea because that does happen, and we certainly don't want to have any animals to have stress, or worst case scenario, they'll jump a fence or they'll go running.
Sure, they'll run away.
Because they're confused and they don't understand. So your words are very well spoken, and everyone should take a moment to think about that for all their pets. And it's a celebration, but at the same time, it can be very traumatic event for your pets.
Yeah, and you know, one last thing, Dave, because a couple of people have asked me if the fireworks will be visible from the forebay, and I'm thinking, you know, if you're on a canoe or out in kayaks on the forebay, I'm thinking maybe
Well, I can definitely say the fireworks will be visible from the forebay and the afterbay both. Of course, and given the size of shells that we're shooting, you'll probably hear the sound too. But they will shoot above the dam. All of our planning and adjusting, the fire technician has adjusted so that they'll all be above the dam. So you'll be able to see it from anywhere, basically, in Oroville. If your backyard, you know, gives you a view of the dam and that access in the Killer Ridge area, you'll certainly be able to see it.
Right, and I would think the west side of Highway 70, I would think, huh?
Right. Yeah, and the other thing I wanted to mention, too, is there is one little difference this year. The visitor overlook parking space, which is at the off of Kelly Ridge Road, where the state parks, where there's a little small tower, that they're opening that up this year for public parking. So there's a couple hundred spaces there available. If you don't mind a little short walk down the trail to the dam, that would be another place for you to park your car or carpool.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
That's a new one. And then, of course, the other thing is if you want to be on the dam, you need to drive up there, and they close the dam road, I think, about 4 o'clock, if I recall. And if you want to drive up there and drop your gear off and maybe leave someone there or leave your crew, and then you take your car and park it either in the visitor overlook or over at the spillway, and then you just take a short walk, and you're all set to go. The buses will be dropping off at the entrance to the dam, but not on the dam.
Right.
So when you get up there, be prepared for a short walk.
Yeah, I would recommend don't wear flip-flops.
wear some comfortable shoes. Idea. No,
yeah,
that's true.
And we also like to recommend bring a flashlight for the return trip because it's going to be 10 o'clock when you're out of there. And it can get cool up there and breezy, so a light jacket is also a good idea, even though during the day it'll probably be fairly warm. Stay hydrated, but be prepared for your exit. All righty, Dave, thank you so much for calling in. Let's send people to Facebook.
Thank you for helping us.
All righty, man. And more information, go to Lake Oroville Fireworks on Facebook or call the Oroville Chamber of Commerce. And let's see if I can pull that phone number up here.
Yeah. Please like us on the Lake Oroville Fireworks Facebook page because we want to know how many people are involved and get the message. We're really looking for you folks to like us to make sure and just click that like button so we know how many people we're communicating to and let the word get out because we want to make sure you get every opportunity to participate and enjoy the event.
Yeah, and I think we're over 1,400 likes. So we're blowing up, baby.
that's great. And, you know, that if something changes in the meantime, that's a great place to notice if there's any changes. Just keep checking the Lake Orville fireworks. I know Ray can help us out, get the word out almost instantly. So please do that.
And alrighty.
Keep that as your checkup place.
All right. Again, Dave Pittman, Orville Rotary of Orville. Thanks so much, Dave, for taking the time to call in today to Butte Views and Beyond.
Hey, let's all have a great 4th of July.
Yeah, safe and sane, everybody.
You bet. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All righty. Well, that just about takes us out here. Thanks for tuning in. Butte Views and Beyond has been made possible by you, the KCFR member, and by A Few Brews and a Banjo, microbrew tasting in Chester Park on July 11th. Entertainment includes Bahopke, Hank and Cherie Ulrich, 12 microbreweries, food and family fun, all benefiting the Chester School High School music program and drama program. The tasting is from 2 to 6, with tickets available at Chester Plumas Bank and Books and Beyond in Chester and at the gate. More information, visit plumasarts.org or by calling 283-3401. And stay tuned, we got some kids programming in just a minute.